In their first game since World Cup qualified, the U.S. men's national team had a tough test. It was a friendly matchup against Morocco, one of the best teams in Africa throughout World Cup qualifying. The U.S. went out there and they absolutely wiped the floor with the North Africans. My goodness, it was a mauling. 3-0, a number of phenomenal chances, just really good things to talk about across the board. But today, what we're going to do is go over, I think, 5 keys to victory. And more importantly, these are 5 things that I think upon first watch, I didn't really notice. And maybe had different opinions about, but after watching the game a few times subsequently, ultimately I saw these things as really important keys, things that really didn't jump out to me right away, and things that I'm really excited about moving forward. 5 really tactical keys to victory for the U.S. All that and more on this episode of The Yank Report. What's up? My name is Sam. This is The Yank Report, the show where we talk about the U.S. men's national team, a squad that is destined for greatness, just ran over Morocco, coming to Qatar, gonna take over. If you want to jump on the train, now's the time. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Thank you all for helping us cross that 10,000 subscriber mark. That was a big goal whenever I started the channel. So cool to see it jump over from 9999 to 10,000. I was sitting there like watching the odometer on a car roll over last night. Really cool moment. Thank you guys for that. We're going to start out with a guy who I think I maligned a little bit in my pregame show, and I'm here to apologize. But first, we got a word from today's sponsor. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including the latest odds on the NBA playoffs, fights, and even next season's futures. And don't forget that the MLB is back as well. Who are you picking to win the World Series? BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join or use our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Reggie Cannon, Reginald Jacob Cannon. That is an unbelievably strong name, and it matches a man who had an unbelievably strong performance last night. And I think when it comes to Reggie Cannon, it wasn't just about the way that he played on the field, because I know there's things we can nitpick about his game, but tactically, it was the role that he played that really served as the keystone for everything that the U.S. did last night. He was the centerpiece for a really, really nice tactical job by Greg Berhalter and the boys. And what ended up happening is the U.S. came out in 2 different formations. In defense, they had that traditional 4-3-3 that we've seen throughout World Cup qualifying, but in possession, the U.S. shifted to what Greg Berhalter referred to as a 3-2-2-3. And I know Greg, throughout the build-up to this friendly, discussed potentially moving to a 3-man back line. But I think we were expecting more of like a traditional 3-man back line with 3 guys who we considered center backs. And that's not really what we got. We got Reggie Cannon, who, for his club team Boavista, and by the way, every time I say Boavista, I feel like I'm Sean Connery trying to pronounce Boavista. Boavista.
And I'm at your service.
So with his club team Boavista, Reggie Cannon has been playing a right-sided center back in a 3-man back line, very similar to what Aspilicueta plays for Chelsea. Sometimes Reece James plays that same role. But anyway, last night for the U.S. men's national team, Reggie Cannon would drop back whenever the U.S. was in build-up, whenever the U.S. was in attack, and it opened up so many interesting things for the U.S. If you look at the field, at sort of like the wide tactical map, you could see that the back line for the U.S. was Reggie Cannon, Walker Zimmerman, and Aaron Long. And then in front of them, often you'd find Tyler Adams and Yunus Musa. And then in front of them, you would find this line of Christian Pulisic and Brendan Aaronson in the middle. And then out wide, you would have Tim Weah occupying sort of a right wing back role. And then Anthony Robinson on the reverse side occupying that right wing back role with Jesus Ferreira up top. Now, this 3-man back line was huge for the U.S. for a number of reasons. And I think, first of all, shout out to Reggie Cannon for his positional versatility. But I think some other key points here is what it allowed the U.S. to do last night and what it could potentially allow the U.S. to do moving forward. I think one of the big question marks coming in to World Cup qualifiers was sort of that fullback position. Who's going to be the right fullback backup behind Serginho Dest? Who's going to be the left fullback backup behind Anthony Robinson? With this tactical wrinkle, it opens up a lot of interesting possibilities for the U.S. First of all, if Serginho Dest is missing from from a game, this is a really great way that we can utilize Reggie Cannon in a way that best suits his needs and allows the team to not miss a beat offensively. The second thing is, should Serginho Dest return, it opens up a lot of different possibilities for the U.S. First of all, Serginho Dest could occupy the role that Reggie Cannon played last night. While Serginho Dest might not be as solid defensively as Reggie Cannon is at this moment in time, Serginho Dest is certainly a savant whenever it comes to the buildup. And his ability back there can really open a lot of doors and potentially be even that much more dynamic for the U.S. in the buildup. Conversely, Serginho Dest could also potentially play further up the field. He could essentially occupy that right back role that, or that right wing back role that Tim Weah was occupying last night. You could have one of the midfielders drop back into that back three. And what that would do is kind of take some defensive responsibility off of Serginho Dest, allow him to do what he does best, which is to operate in the attack and allow for a solid defensive shape for the U.S., which is an interesting option as well. And third, and I think most intriguingly, is you could potentially, using this role, allow Reggie Cannon to start in that right back position and then let Serginho Dest play that left back role, essentially a left wing back role, where he doesn't have much defensive responsibility at all. And suddenly on that left flank, you have Serginho Dest and Christian Pulisic, which we've seen in the past could be a potentially dynamic duo. I mean, two of the best players in the entire pool on the ball operating on the same flank could be a very dangerous thing for the opposition. And it's a really interesting thing that opens up a lot of different positional opportunities, all from this one move, bringing back Reggie Cannon to that three-man back line. So I'm really excited about the possibilities here. Now, I mentioned earlier that the three-man back line opened up a lot of opportunities, not just for the back line, but for things happening further up the field. And I think that the real masterstroke in this game was the positioning of Brennan Aaronson and what he was able to bring to the game. The big question before the game was, how was Brennan Aaronson going to operate in that midfield? We saw him against El Salvador in the first game against World Cup qualifying, and he really got overrun. But we've seen him play pretty well as an attacking midfielder for RB Salzburg throughout the season. So I was optimistic. Now, what we got was something really interesting. Now, because of the shape, because of the dynamic shape, the changing shape of the U.S. men's national team, whenever the U.S. was in defense, Brennan Aaronson was one of the three men in that midfield. It allowed him to be absolutely relentless in his pressing, very aggressive, and to just really go after the game. And we did see a few opportunities that were created through Brennan Aaronson's pressure. Brennan Aaronson's press and the press of the entire U.S. men's national team throughout the night really gave Morocco a lot of problems, particularly in that opening 5 minutes where Morocco just looked overwhelmed throughout that game. In fact, I would say a lot of the game opening up later on for the U.S. was just because the U.S. put them in an absolute pressure grinder and just ground them down into the dust. By the time the 60th minute came around, Morocco looked absolutely shell-shocked. But whenever it comes to Brennan Aaronson, the really interesting thing that we saw is that whenever the U.S. had the ball, instead of being kind of stuck in the midfield, what we saw was Tim Weah would move out to a right wingback position, and Brennan Aaronson would become sort of that pocket 10, sort of that inside playmaker opposite Christian Pulisic. And what we saw throughout the night was that four-man line of Anthony Robinson and Tim Weah providing the width on the wings, and Brennan Aaronson and Christian Pulisic playing in those slots in that kind of 10 role created a lot of problems for Morocco. Throughout the night, Christian Pulisic and Brennan Aaronson would both drop into the midfield, pick up the ball, turn, look up field, take players on, run at the defense, and it created so many problems. While in the past we've seen a U.S. men's national team really struggle to build from the back to get the ball from the defensive third to the final third, last night against Morocco, with Brennan Aaronson and Christian Pulisic just able to drop into these pockets of space that were created through the tactics and the formation, the U.S. was able to move the ball seemingly at will. And as Christian Pulisic and Brennan Aaronson were able to find these spaces and pick up these balls, and Morocco kind of move things around to try to cover them, more spaces for other players opened up, and suddenly the U.S. was just springing attacks right and left. It was a really interesting tactical wrinkle, and what that does moving forward is it opens up more options for the U.S. men's national team. I know one big thing that a lot of folks talk about with this national team moving forward is potentially seeing Gio Reyna in the midfield, and I've always said that I'm into seeing Gio Reyna in the midfield, but I don't want to see him play the midfield like we see Weston McKennie and Yunus Musa play, where they're more reserved further back and they're covering for some of the fullbacks who are getting forward. Last night, we saw a wrinkle where an attacking or a midfielder for the U.S. was able to operate without a lot of defensive responsibility whenever the U.S. had the ball. Brendan Aaronson was able to get forward. He's able to operate in that pocket of space like a 10. And for my money, if you put Gio Reyna in that space that Brendan Aaronson was playing last night, he would have a tremendous amount of success. It looked exactly like the role that you would want to see Gio Reyna in moving forward. So just like the Reggie Cannon being in that role and seeing it work so well tactically opens up a lot of options in the fullbacks, I think Brendan Aaronson showing what he can do in that role and how effective that role can be for him opens up a lot of possibilities in that winger position as well, with both Christian Pulisic, Brendan Aaronson, and Gio Reyna all being able to occupy that role pretty successfully. Now, the next person I want to talk about, and this might be a reach, I understand this, but it is Jesus Ferreira. After the game, I was kind of down on Jesus Ferreira. I thought he had an all right game. I wish he would have scored that goal. But after the game, and this is how it tends to work with me and Jesus Ferreira, after the game, after the rewatch, whenever you watch the game a second time, you get to see the impact that Jesus Ferreira has on the game off the ball. And I thought that there were a lot of moments last night where he really came up big and created some opportunities for the U.S. The first thing, and I think this is the first thing that we should talk about when discussing any player for the U.S. and how they fit into this national team, was his pressing. And his pressing was absolutely tremendous. The press starts with the furthest player forward. The furthest player forward is the forward. And Jesus Ferreira in that first few minutes of the game was all over the place. I mean, he put defenders under pressure. He won some balls off the keeper sometimes there. I mean, he was all over the place in his press. And it allowed the U.S. to win the ball back in some advantageous positions and create a lot of pressure on Morocco early on in the game. Now, offensively, the big thing with Jesus Ferreira is always going to be his movement and his ability to drop in. And we saw that impact the game a number of ways. I think most notably is going to be on the Pulisic goal, where Jesus Ferreira kind of checked back into space. He pulled that left-sided center back out with him, and that gave the pocket of space for Christian Pulisic to run into that allowed Walker Zimmerman to ping the ball over the top and create that goal. Now, I know that's saying a lot, putting that goal, giving some of that reward for Jesus Ferreira, but I think that's exactly how it was drawn up, and I think that's how soccer works. I think that this is absolutely a tactical thing where Jesus Ferreira comes out, pulls that center back out, and Christian Pulisic runs in behind. But as far as direct contributions to the attack, I mean, there was that moment early on where Jesus Ferreira got a bouncing ball, cradled it down really nicely, and put a really nice hard shot on goal. A shot that I think goes in sometimes, but I think that the Moroccan keeper outside of that Tim Weah goal, I mean, he's a strong keeper. He's a keeper for Sevilla. He's one of the better keepers in Spain. He's a very good keeper, and I think he made some really nice saves throughout the night, and that was a good one on Ferreira. The next one would be whenever Ferreira got slipped in right before halftime. I thought he had another really nice hard shot on goal, and on another night that goes in. So those are two goal scoring opportunities for Jesus Ferreira, which is a good thing because throughout World Cup qualifying, we saw that our strikers were not producing dangerous goal scoring opportunities. And this is against a very good team and a very good defense in Morocco. But I think the last moment I want to point out, and this might be my biggest reach of the video, I understand that, but I just want to point out sort of how soccer works and how it can be a cruel game sometimes. And that was in the fourth minute where Yunus Musa had the ball out wide. He actually had Jesus Ferreira making a run in behind, but chose not to play it to him. Instead, he plays to Christian Pulisic at the top of the box. Now, in this moment, Christian Pulisic kind of fakes to the right and cuts back to the left. In that moment, he opted to shoot right there, and it was a good shot, and it was a hard shot on goal. And I mean, how do you ask your all-world playmaker, Captain America, Prince of Pennsylvania, Christian Pulisic, to not shoot right there? He was feeling it, and he had a wonderful game. So taking nothing away from Christian Pulisic, this is a moment where had he played that ball out to Yunus Musa, with the position that Jesus Ferreira was in, I mean, a nice square ball across the face of goal, Jesus Ferreira would have been in perfect position to put that away. That would have been 1-0 for the USA early on. I feel like there was a few moments in this game where the U.S. kind of took some low percentage shots as opposed to making that next pass for a better percentage chance on goal, and this was absolutely one of them. So that's just one moment I wanted to point out for Jesus Ferreira. That being said, I thought when Haji Wright came in, he was really great in a lot of different ways. His hold-up play was really strong. His runs in behind were very direct. Obviously, there's a lot of camaraderie between Haji Wright and a lot of players on the team. Very fun story with Haji Wright being the heralded youth player coming back to the national team. I'm excited to see more of Haji Wright throughout these next three games. But that being said, I think Jesus Ferreira might have had a little bit better game than people are giving credit for. The fourth key that I want to point out here is something that pre-game I said the U.S. was not going to be able to do, and boy, did they prove me wrong, and that was the build-up. I mean, the build-up from the back last night was absolutely tremendous, and it was with a bunch of guys that we thought really weren't capable of a great build-up. I mean, starting with Matt Turner, Reggie Cannon, Walker Zimmerman, Aaron Long, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Tyler Adams, maybe Yunus Musa is pretty solid at the build-up, but anyway, these guys combined for some really nice passing sequences. You didn't really ever see them panicked, and even though they did hit it long a time or two, they really were dedicated to solving problems and building out of the back. I think this can be attributed to a number of different things, but the first thing I would really point to is the formation and the tactics. It seemed like that three-man back line and having both Brennan Aaronson and Christian Pulisic able to check back into space and just creating these different areas where defenders could find passes really allowed for back line that maybe isn't the greatest at like super great line-breaking passes to always be able to find a safe option with the ball to move the ball out of the back. Now, there were a few sequences that were especially tremendous. I think the first one would be like Haji Wright's attempt on goal. The sequence where Christian Pulisic gets the ball, plays it in behind for Haji Wright, and Haji Wright has that attempt on goal. Another moment where maybe if Haji Wright slips the ball across for Tim Weah, you have a certain goal there. But anyway, the buildup for that was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, stuff that you don't normally associate with U.S. men's national team. Another one was the penalty sequence where Christian Pulisic ends up with that penalty. That was another sequence that the U.S. just kicked it around for a long period of time, and Morocco got really frustrated, and there wasn't much they can do about it. And then the last one, I think the first two were really build-ups that led to breaks. This one was a direct approach, and that was the sequence that led to Walker Zimmerman hitting that ball over the top to Christian Pulisic for Brennan Aaron's subsequent goal. This was a sequence where the U.S. was able to kick it around and move the ball so well and so quickly that Morocco eventually just kind of dropped back and gave them space because they were tired of chasing the ball around. And when given that space, Walker Zimmerman was able to find that pass over the top. Just phenomenal. I think this leads me into the last key of the game, and I got to give credit where it's due here. I mean, Greg Berhalter, that was a tremendous effort. I think the tactics that he showed in that game last night were phenomenal. I mean, seeing this national team, a team that is full of young players, a team with players that don't have a ton of experience together and are still kind of growing in unison, still trying to build internal chemistry, to see them go out there with this dynamic shape and to be on the same page and to really undo a veteran quality, experienced side, a side that has won a lot of games like the Moroccan national team, was really impressive. I thought the U.S. really hit on all cylinders last night. The players were in great positions, and tactically the U.S. really undid the Moroccans. And I think a lot of that credit has to go to Greg Berhalter. I know that he's been very much maligned as a coach. I know that I've taken my shots at him in the past, but give credit where it's due. That was a tremendous effort. And I think part and parcel with that has to be the morale of the squad and the chemistry of the squad. I mean, you see that moment where the U.S. gets a penalty and everybody in the world is assuming that Christian Pulisic is going to take the penalty. He hands the ball to Haji Wright because he wants Haji Wright to have that moment. The selflessness, the friendship, you see the bonds that are on this team. The vibes are good, as they say, and I think a lot of that has to be credited to Greg Berhalter and the atmosphere that he's orchestrated within this U.S. men's national team. It's very good to see, and it allows fans like myself to be really optimistic as to what this team can accomplish moving forward in a World Cup where they're going to be one of the very youngest teams in the mix, and they're going to be one of the less experienced teams, not just with overall experience, but also with experience together as a unit. To see what Greg has done with this squad has been really impressive. So I've got to give credit where it's due in this game. So those were my five keys to victory for the U.S.'s 3-0. Just absolute mauling of Morocco. It feels so nice to say. It feels good on the tongue. I'm curious what you guys have to say. Let me know in the comment section. Was I reaching on the Jesus Ferreira thing? I feel like I might have been reaching a little bit. That's okay. Whatever. I'm a fan. How do you see this team playing whenever it's at absolute full strength? Were you surprised by any of the performances in a good way, in a bad way? Let me know. Thank you guys for helping me get to 10,000 subscribers. I mean, that's absolutely unbelievable. Thank you guys for helping the launch of Sin 76 be so successful on the marketing side. I mean, the video on Twitter got like, it's like at 15,000 views or something like that. It's unbelievable. And a lot of people have already signed up for the mailing list, so I'm really excited about this. You guys will be able to get this shirt starting June 5th. There should be a link in the description to sin76apparel.com, and you can kind of check it out right there. Sign up for the mailing list, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff to kind of see what's going to be next, what's going to be the next release. So I'm really excited about that. If you guys want the Yank Report in podcast form, you can find it anywhere podcast or podcasted, thanks to the Believe Podcast Network. Si puede hablar español, dígame un comentario en español. Thank you to my Tier 2 members, Manuel Olivares, Mike Irish, Chris Matassa, and Matthew Doyle. Shout out to Matthew Hanna for coming back into the mix on the membership side, and thank you for that beer, man. I really appreciate it. Guys, thank you so much for watching. My name is Sam, and this is the Yank Report, brought to you by Bet Online.